Off to Imola we go, Rye Guy. We're going back. Third year in a row.
Yes, back to Ferrari land right here.
Back to what has been a trophy darling for the last couple of years.
Yes.
Really catapulted their way into the category for best trophy in the Purple Sector Awards.
It was a lightning bolt last year.
Right. And 2 years ago was that acrylic outline of the track with the Senna star where...
Diamond
and crust,
yeah,
the diamond jammed in there where he jammed into the wall. So Imola is one of our favorites for a lot of things on, off, and around the track.
Fucking Raikkonen, what a fucking idiot.
Come on, get that McLaren out of the way. This guy is a f***ing joke.
With 5 laps remaining, so we need to keep this pace up.
Hey man, don't talk to me through the corners. He just went off.
Going to retirement. Tony Mayer vomiting. Coming here, I'm vomiting. I'm going to drive.
Understood. Stop.
This is Purple Sector Pod. Helmut and Rye Guy on the mics.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to dive into our Imola Grand Preview. A big old mail box, some news. So it's jam-packed, and we'll get through it all.
We've got several listeners at the race this weekend, Moot, and all I can think about is all the Italian food, amazing Italian food they're going to get their hands on.
Oh, for sure.
Even the highway food,
all
Autosport,
right,
or whatever it's called, Auto Grill.
You can always, right, exactly. You can, weren't they what, a McLaren sponsor or something a couple of years ago? Or
yeah,
somebody.
If you've never driven through Italy, and I know plenty of listeners probably haven't, there's a chain called Auto Grill. I think it's called Auto Grill, and their food is like better than the Italian food you'll get in the States at a nice Italian restaurant.
Oh yeah, come hungry and leave hefty. When you go to Italy, and I'm sure especially the whole Emilia-Romagna region, right?
Right, exactly.
So just a quick reminder, go subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't already. Go search Purple Sector F1 Podcast, subscribe to the channel. Smash the like button, spread the word about it to other people, all that good stuff. And hit us up 904-8-PURPLE, that's 904-878-7753 to leave a voicemail or shoot us a text. We have... couple voicemails we'll get into in the mailbox, box, who hit up 904-8-PURPLE, and you can also slide into our DMs at Purple Sector Pod on social media to partake in the mailbox, box. You ready to go crack it open, Rye Guy?
Let's do it.
You can take, or I'll take the first one here.
Box.
Jamie from the US of A texted us, what was up with Checo's race engineer telling him to focus when Checo asked what happened to Max? WTF? Question mark. A 10-plus year veteran driver and his dickhead engineer effectively tells him to shut up and drive. What a douche. What were your thoughts? I mean, I think it's...
I know exactly what's going on there. It's the reliability concerns.
Exactly.
They don't want Checo to even think about it.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, going to say. That's
how bad it is, though, at Red Bull right now.
Right. They don't want to tell him, his car, you know, his fuel, there's some liquid or some leak or some fuel pump or whatever, because we know they've been struggling to finish races in the first three of this season. So, yeah, you want his mind to focus on racing, not worrying that his car could blow up any second, because race one was exactly that example, right? Max retires and then Checo has the same issue pop up on the final lap.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. If the engineer is a douche for doing that, I don't remember the exact audio that you're referring to, Jamie, but I'm almost positive it's because they want him to not focus on the reliability concern.
No, I think that's part of the engineer's job, right? You have to determine when the driver doesn't need all the information.
Yeah, they might not have like the best finesse when it comes to
he doesn't want to start speculating, right? Because now what, you're going to put all these ideas into Checo's head and he's going to start looking for smells and sounds and start thinking there's you know gremlins in his machine.
Yeah,
I mean, like you said, they're also, you want to kind of be quick. You can't kind of let someone down easy and dive into the particulars about an issue like that. Like, he just basically was short and just said, don't worry about Max. I think it's what he said, right? I think he just said, don't worry about Max, focus or drive,
yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's probably for the best. He shouldn't be like, oh, yeah, his engine blew up, so watch your back.
Right.
That would be awful if you were a driver. You'd be like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
But yeah, that is the big issue right now. Red Bull's reliability.
Yeah.
So why don't you take the next one?
I'll have to dig up that audio. Next is Jenna from the USA. She texted us and said, this is our Formula Brunch queen, by the way. She said, no elaborate hashtag Formula Brunch for the Australian Grand Prix.
The hashtag Aussheepy.
What did I say?
You just said Australia. Oh, okay. It doesn't matter. I just...
Hashtag AussGP.
I just think hashtag AussGP, yeah. Saying it is always funny.
She went on to say, but we did manage to stay up late and watch it live. Congrats on that. Up visiting friends in Long Beach for the Indy race the next morning. We got some Fosters, took over their TV, and enjoyed a double points finish for the Papaya Boys. We weren't able to find Zach Brown. Sorry. We weren't able to find Zach Snack Attack Brown in Long Beach, but we did enjoy a good race with the Phoenix on the podium. Quadruple fire emoji.
Yeah. A lot of inside baseball there too, right?
Yeah.
Phoenix on the podium is obviously Rogro. Yep.
And Zach Brown was not in Australia. He was in Long Beach racing in like a classic cars race.
Okay. And the Papaya Boys are obviously the Papaya Pals at McLaren.
So just a full motorsport weekend for Jenna and Kyle. And I mean, they stayed up and watched the Australian Grand Prix.
And rolled then
they went to Long Beach.
Indy in Long Beach, yeah.
Yeah, that's incredible. Good for you guys. That's awesome.
Jam-packed weekend. Heck of a time.
And you got to see Roman Grosjean on the podium. That's a pretty dope weekend right there. Congratulations. Really,
exactly. Some serious synergy between watching Formula One and then seeing Rogro get on one of the steps in another series.
Yeah, love it.
Emilio Ragai was nice enough to send us a great reactionary voicemail. When you have
a live take.
Right, when you have that overnight, that late night hashtag AussGP, you can have people who are hanging out and watching it and they've had a long day and you get some visceral reactions like this one from Emilio.
Of course. Of fucking course. God damn it, Latifi. He has the nerve to blame Stroll. And this motherfucker, oh my God. He's so inexperienced and he's so stupid. He didn't even let go of his steering wheel when he crashed that hard.
I love it. I love it. Just the instant. We had the instant snap call venom for Latifi.
Yeah, so that was Emilio coming in live from Mexico during qualifying.
Yes.
In Australia.
Oh, yes.
So this was actually fun. So obviously Australia was on really late for most Northern Americans. And we were getting a lot of live messages from a lot of the listeners saying like, hey, we know you're up watching. Like, you know, let's chat about all the sessions live.
Yes, it was fantastico for sure. Great timing and great to get more live interactions.
I want to know if Emilio... Looking back on it now, does he still think it's Latifi's fault? Because I think, you know, 99% of the blame since this incident has fallen on Lance's shoulders.
For sure. After you saw, you heard what the radio transmissions were and you saw how Lance dealt with it. But I was with him when you first saw it. All you saw was all of a sudden Latifi spinning out on the track and the quick first replay just shows him trying to barrel past Lance, right?
Yeah.
But obviously when we were able to take a closer look and they analyzed it, it seemed more clear that it was...
Lance is a big dummy.
Latifi obviously could get on with his program because he was fed wrong information and Lance didn't check his mirrors.
Yeah, and he is right, though. Emilio's right. Like, Latifi did let go of the steering wheel really late. It was like after all the impact that he finally realized, hey, maybe I should let this thing go.
Yeah, sometimes I definitely notice that, where you see the guys who clearly, some of them just,
and they're like,
they put it on, some of them put it on their helmet, I think just as like, to make sure you get it away from everything, where they'll, you know, do like the patty cake or whatever, put it on their helmet versus just holding it in the air, you know?
Yeah.
Give it something to rest on and apply pressure to. It also can help maybe hold your head, right? Of course, like you can hold your head from whiplash. No
absolutely.
Yeah, right. Right, guy, let's move on now. We appreciate the voicemail, Emilio. We love getting the voicemails.
Voicemails
makes it more fun for us.
Are encouraged. Voicemails are encouraged. Please, more voicemails. Yeah, they are fun.
Saving our pipes a little bit.
Yeah, we love it. All right, next up is Nia from Canada. She hit us up on Instagram and said, "Happy Easter, guys."
Happy Easter, Nia.
"The Down Underwear episode was brilliant. I enjoyed the jam-packed Australian race review, and I'm still laughing at the calf tattoos comment. Yet another unique purple sector observation spotted in the garage. You guys never disappoint. Thumbs up emoji."
Yes, thumbs up on Easter, and
yeah, happy Easter to you as well.
Thumbs up on calf tattoos.
Yeah, she's referring to the Alpine mechanics in the garage. A lot of calf tattoos.
Oh, yes. Nothing but calf tattoos. It's we were joking that it's a prerequisite for employment in that garage.
They make you pull up your pant leg.
Yes. Right guy, our buddy Warren from the US of A, from North Carolina to be exact, also hit us up with a voicemail.
"Hey, this is Warren in North Carolina. I was feeling kind of bad, you know, thinking about COVID and what happened in COVID. Then I was thinking about Abu Dhabi, because, you know, I'm a big Sir Lewis Hamilton fan. And I was feeling kind of low, but I was still listening to your show. Y'all doing a great job talking about the show. And then while I was listening, I heard a can being opened. I thought, you know, one of y'all drinking some soda or whatever. And Rye Guy said he would open up a can of beer. And I said to myself, you know something? These guys are all right. They doing a podcast drinking a beer. You know what I'm saying? A podcast drinking a beer. These guys got to be okay. So, hey, force to see both of you guys, man, on me. Hey, enjoy the show, man. I'm a fan. Y'all doing a great job. Bye."
Love it. Appreciate it, Warren. We'll pour some out in your honor for sending a delicious voicemail.
Yeah, I'm drinking a beer right now, Warren. It's the only way to get through these recordings at night.
Yeah, we just talked about saving our pipes, you know. Sometimes you got to put a little oil in the engines, you know, and the beer really helps lube up the esophagus.
100%. Helps, keeps me loose at night.
It's also a nice little Easter egg, because sometimes we won't necessarily announce it. You just have to keep your ears peeled and see if you can hear an aluminum pint being opened up, you know?
Exactly.
For the diehards who are analyzing the episodes like the Zapruder film, you might be able to hear it.
Yeah, so Moot, I'm going to leave this next one for you.
I also like, sorry, before we move on from it, I liked the peek inside, in between Warren's ears, where he's going from thinking about COVID, jumping over to Abu Dhabi, then, you know, talking about the brewskis. So, yeah. Hopefully at some point we can crack a cold one with Warren in the future.
I would love that.
Yeah. Also, so thanks for hitting us up with another voicemail. As we mentioned, love the voicemails. It gives us more time to open and drink our beers here while we record.
Yeah, voicemails encouraged every week.
So yes, Rye Guy, you want me to hit up Josh?
Yeah, so let me preface this real quick. Josh is an Aussie, and he was at the race this weekend. So the first three quarters of this is him giving us like the recap of the weekend. And then I asked him if he saw any funny stuff go down with the fans or whatever, and that's the last part about seeing Seb on the scooter and everything. So
right.
Enjoy this recap, this in-person recap from the Aussie Grand Prix.
Yes, this is one side of the back and forth of him giving us that recap we were asking for. So Josh from Australia said, "What a race weekend overall, gents. Quali got hectic after the crashes and the race was awesome. I ended up sitting on an 8-foot-high electrical box at turn 3 for the race. Albon did a mega stint to hold up the Alpine, and the cars were all running close to the entire race thanks to the safety cars. I'll be interested to hear your thoughts on the liveries when you see them in person. My personal favorites are the Aston Martin and the Alfa Romeo. The only things I can think of were that people in the grandstand on Saturday were referring to Stroll and Latifi after their crash as Dumb and Dumber. And before their cars had finished their parade lap at the end of the race, people were already on the track pulling down the highly sought-after, elusive DRS boards. Also, got to see Seb riding the scooter on track. Crying laughing emoji. And during the driver parade, Yuki got one of the biggest cheers.
It warms my heart.
Yeah, and the crowd booed Fernando, because he was on his phone as he went past, probably asking the mechanics whether his car was fixed. Looking forward to this week's episode. take care of yourselves, Josh.
Amazing.
So
amazing was, Aussie reenactment.
That was the actual, it was almost a voicemail.
Yeah.
With that reading there.
This is Josh calling in live from Melbourne.
So I love that the Aussies were calling Stroll the TV dumb and dumber.
Yeah.
Because obviously they have often been involved in incidents during their entire time in Formula One, especially recently with Latifi finding walls in a bunch of recent races going back to last season. So that's a good bit.
I love that Yuki got the biggest cheers in the driver parade. I love that.
Everyone has warmed up to Yuki. I think especially with Drive to Survive, because sometimes these rookie drivers, if they aren't jumping into one of the mega teams or having mega results right away, they kind of get lost in the shuffle. But Yuki, just everything about him, how candid he is, how ridiculously diminutive he is, how funny he is on Drive to Survive.
And he's by far the biggest underdog out there in the field.
Right.
By far.
A lot of great stuff here. I love that.
He watched the race from an electrical box.
That's what I was going to say, that Josh somehow got boosted up on an 8-foot-high electrical box to watch the race.
Cheers, Josh. You're the fucking man.
Yeah.
Thank you for that recap. Incredible stuff.
I love that he got to see Seb riding the scooter.
Yeah, that's legendary.
That they're also running down Fernando Alonso. That they're all booing him. Crazy stuff.
Yeah.
What an eventful. I mean, that's...
Josh, let us know what you thought of Helmut's Aussie accent.
Yeah, anyone from down under can comment on it. I just love this. This shows you, though, too, Ryan, that a lot of the entertainment of the Formula One race weekend isn't necessarily always what's on track, because you're only seeing a portion of the race anyway.
It's the atmosphere.
Yeah, it's all the fans you're around, the other conversations, just seeing and exploring the different tracks, seeing the driver parades, a lot of the things that you don't get to see on TV, right? Because it's the whole experience, figuring out where you're watching it from on an electrical box, seeing random stuff like, you know, drivers on scooters.
It's wild. It's a 72-hour party of Formula One weekend. So I recommend...
It's a festival. They become festivals. Now you have concerts all the time and other events going on.
If you've never been, we can't recommend it more.
For sure.
Is it a logistical nightmare somewhat? You know, and it costs money, of course. But
everything is.
You'll never forget that weekend if you do it.
Exactly.
Trust me.
It'll be amazing.
Next up, Ken from the USA.
I'm just thinking back. Sorry to interrupt. Even Spa last year, when the whole race got rained out and fans were sitting there the entire day, I'm sure they all still have fun. You still had a memory. I would still want all of or a bulk of my money back for sitting in the rain and seeing nothing on Sunday. But for sure, it's, again, another memory. The weather comes into the memory. You're with all the fans. It's a great time, as you mentioned.
Yes, absolutely. All right,
Sorry to interrupt.
No worries.
Just getting pumped up here.
Oh, yeah. It's Imola weekend, dude.
I know. And it's fun getting in the loaded mailbox boxes, getting some voicemails, getting all kinds of good stuff.
So we've got Ken from the US of A. He's a West Coaster.
It's our Max Supermaxer.
Yes. He's our resident president of the Supermax fan club. He wrote, "Ugh. Luckily, I did not stay up late with the Fosters, or I would have woken up with an oil can dent in my forehead."
Originally when I read it, I was picturing that he meant if he had tried to stay up, he would have fallen asleep on the can and had a dent. But he means that he would have smashed it against his forehead.
Would have smashed it against his forehead. He said, "Instead, my morning is off to a shitty start. Red Bull reliability is going to be the deciding factor. Congratulations to Helmut for the rainbow podium."
Thank you.
So even in all of Ken's misery, he's still thinking of you, Moot. What do you think of that?
I think everyone likes a rainbow podium. Rainbows cheer everybody up.
I don't think
a rainbow podium was able to cheer Ken up, even though Max didn't finish.
I don't think Ken likes rainbow podiums unless they involve his boy Max.
If Max is on the podium, he doesn't care because he'll ignore whomever else it is if Max Supermax is up there.
Yeah.
Ryan.
Well, better luck this weekend, Max, or Ken. We'll see what happens to Max.
Oh, I mean, Ken's going to have a lot of dents in his forehead with whatever the Formula Brunch beer is for the regions. Hopefully he doesn't end up with a Peroni can dent or bottle dent in his forehead, because the Red Bull reliability, as we mentioned, has been an issue, and any Red Bull or Max fan is going to be sweating every race of the season.
Yep.
Right, guy. Floor Vontenda hit us up on DeGram saying, This is in response to George Russell's.
This is in response to my wife saying she thinks George Russell is handsome and good looking.
Right. Flor Von Tenda said, George Russell, good. If I'm yelling or raising my voice or cadence, it's because it's all caps. George Russell, good looking guy. 3 question marks. George Russell, gorgeous. 4 question marks. That's outrageous. I'll give you that he's got that model-esque bone structure, but personally, I find everything about him just so off-putting. No thanks. And yes, eating sushi with a fork is extra off-putting. So a lot of things about George Russell are off-putting for Flor.
Here's what's hilarious about Flor's message, okay? So she says he's not a good-looking guy, but then says he looks
like
a...
his bone structure.
She says he's not a good-looking guy, but then says he's a model, but then... confirm she just hates his personality, basically.
Yeah, I think
so. He is a good looking guy.
I don't know. Careful. We'll end up with Flor Von Enda launching into George Russell again.
Listen to me stumping for George's looks. I'm defending George Russell's looks.
I think what I had mentioned about it and what I've always said is that he has those doe eyes, just big,
he does,
Bambi eyes. That's more so the thing that I think draws people towards. Him
but
more than anything else.
Here's the thing about George. He's androgynous as fuck, right? He might as well be David Bowie. And also,
He's so tall. He's so slender.
His voice.
You're right. He's a David Bowie body type.
His voice also doesn't know if it's male or female. Like, he sounds like Kermit the Frog almost.
He's basically a human clothes hanger, because whenever he wears clothes, it just looks like they're hanging on, like, you know, a hanger or on some mannequin in a Joseph A. Bank.
He's a strange looking dude in appearance and in personality and in voice.
Yeah, if he doesn't
and
put
in fashion.
Thankfully, I will say the only positive probably for him eating sushi with a fork is that he'll put on a couple of pounds. If he tried to eat it with chopsticks, I imagine he wouldn't be able to get any of it in his mouth, and
that's
the guy
true.
Would be even more slim than he already is. So he has to eat it with a fork, or else he's not going to be able to even survive enough to walk back to his hotel.
I think George is the new robot on the grid. It's no longer Valtteri Bottas, Valtteri Robotus. It's not. It's George. George Robot Russell. Nobody knows if he's male or female.
George Robotzel.
His voice is...
Domo arigato, Georgie Robotzel.
Yeah. Right?
His fork.
He eats sushi with a fork. He looks like a man or a woman. No one knows. He's a robot.
He is.
He's a sentinel.
But he does have the doe eyes. They installed massive eyes into that robotzel.
He does have doe eyes. This next message is from our listener, Sean, or he's from Israel, but he's in Imola this weekend because he's on his honeymoon. How awesome is that, dude?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a pro move, building in the Formula One weekend, wherever it may be, into a honeymoon is a very pro move.
Yeah, so I noticed that some of his posts were coming from Italy, and they were getting closer and closer to Imola. So I messaged him and I said, hey man, are you going to the race this weekend? And he said, yes, well, the tickets for the race were not on our honeymoon budget, but we have tickets for Saturday. It's all about the sprint race, baby. Expect a very local Formula brunch, since we will probably watch it in a bar in Bologna. Yes sir, my wife is definitely awesome if she's into this whole thing with me. She's a Leclerc fan, so this championship started well for her. So that's a dream honeymoon for Sean. He's talked his wife into F1, an F1 weekend in Italy. She's a Leclerc fan, so she will most likely leave the weekend happy. And they're going to the sprint race, dude. How epic is that?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, it's nonstop action. That's going to be awesome. Yeah, for sure. We're going to hope he posts a bunch of hashtag Formula Brunch picks. You don't have to post them right away.
Yeah,
when
Sean,
you're traveling, enjoy it. Take the pictures and do the later gram of hashtag Formula Brunch.
Sean, if you could find the time between all the F1 and all the banging on your honeymoon, just send us a couple pics, couple excerpts from the track. That's all we need.
Yes.
Very quick. In and out.
Hashtag Assetto Ferrari.
Epic.
Yeah. That's awesome, though.
Congratulations, man. That is fucking sick.
I wonder, too, you know, saying that she's a Leclerc fan when he mentions that. That's a savvy move, right? Picking the race in Imola, having the, you know, that's an easier sell
when you say
we should go to Italy for the honeymoon, and you're a Leclerc fan, that's, you know, we can go see the Ferrari factory in Maranello, not far from there, you know?
Yeah, was that your angle, Sean, when you guys were discussing the honeymoon plans?
Savvy.
It's pretty clever.
Sharp move. Right guy Weginald from the US of A hit us up, also in our DMs, saying, holidays mean in-laws, so yeah, I took a drive today, did some dashing, and caught up on some flashpoint moments of 2021, hashtag F1, from at Purple Sector Pod, who I only started listening to recently, and wondered what their take was. Man, how the fuck did I miss out on these guys in 2021? Double thumbs up emoji. That actually, sorry, was he tweeted that, and so then we retweeted, and we appreciated him sending the kind words and
he had
taking the time to put together a tweet. Yeah, a screenshot of which ones.
Of like all of our 2021
what he thought
episodes.
The Flashpoint episodes were. It was stuff like Brazil and Abu Dhabi and Silverstone and Saudi Arabia and probably the award show. So yeah, just go into those races that were big pivotal moments in the season last year.
Yeah, we appreciate the kind words, Weginald. Glad you're liking the show, and it's only going to get better.
Yes, very good. For sure, yeah. If anyone out there wants to crowbar us into any responses to other tweets about Formula One or their own tweets, for sure, we'll always be retweeting all that stuff, and we appreciate any of those kind words on social media.
Yep. Next up, Moot, is Stuart Conney in Scotland.
Are you going to do a Scottish accent for this one?
I can't. That's a tough, tough accent for me to do, man. He says, hey, at Purple Sector Pod, great episode as always, guys. I pay as much attention to driver of the day during the race as I do soup of the day when in a restaurant. Both are roundly ignored. Hashtag, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Going really blue with the hashtag to match the Scottish flag.
Stewart's responding to...
We were making fun of Albon or Leclerc got driver of the day.
And we were talking about how Leclerc has won driver of the day every race this
year. Clean sweep thus far.
And how F1 hasn't even brought it up on the broadcast.
Right.
At this point.
Right.
Because it's so routine this year.
Yes. And I don't know. I have to disagree with them somewhat. I always, maybe it's more of a small talk angle, like when you just always ask people, like, how's the weather, you know, just to make conversation. I almost feel like I always ask what's the soup du jour or the soup of the day or the special.
I have never ordered soup du jour.
I'm not saying
life.
I order, right, I don't order it, but it's like small talk to get the waiter going, I guess, you know?
Sure.
I will always ask, what's the soup of the day? What's the whatever du jour that might be on a menu?
Well, Stewart's a better person than you. He's not wasting the waiter's time.
Yeah, he's double middle fingering driver of the day and soup of the day.
Yep.
Maybe that should be a Formula Brunch bit going forward.
Soup of the day?
Yeah, there's a soup of the day instead of driver of the day for Formula Brunch.
Soup of the day, just yesterday's ingredients.
Yeah. The soup of the day, Italian wedding soup, here for the race in Imola, right?
Yep. So this concludes the mailbox box for this episode, but just a quick shout out. As we already mentioned, Sean from Israel is at the race this weekend, or the sprint race. But we also have another listener from Ireland, Dara Payton. He's going to be there all weekend in the Aqua Minerale corner. So
awesome.
Shout out to him. Can't wait to hear how it goes. And hope all you guys have a great time.
Yeah, that's awesome. There's a lot of listeners going to be there in person. A nice
global podcast, baby.
I know, a nice international mailbox box, a couple voicemails, so we appreciate Emilio and Warren sending those in. Honeymooners
in Imola.
Taking care of hashtag Formula Brunch on their honeymoon for the show. So great stuff from you guys. We appreciate all your interactions. And remember, for future mailbox boxes, 9048 Purple to leave a voicemail or shoot us a text, and at Purple Sector Pod on social media to slide into our DMs.
Box.
Right, guy, it is now news time. We've purged the mailbox.
Yeah, that was a massive mailbox.
Yeah, great job, everybody.
I fucking love it.
For
more
sure.
More voicemails, too? Fuck yeah, dude.
I love it.
All right.
So, news time.
So, Moot, the FIA released a statement regarding the drivers bad-mouthing the Aston Martin safety car last weekend
in Australia. We played that audio from the pressers after the race.
Yes, Max had some nasty quotes about how much he thinks the Aston Martin safety car sucks, called it a turtle, and then
George Russell was piling on.
George Russell was shitting on it in the post-race presser.
And then Leclerc was joking about
Charles Leclerc.
Ferrari. Yeah. If Ferrari was the safety car, then you know it would be faster than the Mercedes.
Yes, so some interesting developments, in my opinion. The FIA felt compelled, let's just use the word compelled, to put out a long statement about it where they basically said, we're not going to read it because it's long and boring and very stupid.
It's, well, it's,
they just,
CYA, they're covering their ass because,
I'll tell you what they're doing.
Yeah.
But basically they just
covering
said,
ass and Martin's ass, Larry's ass.
Yeah.
They're powdering Larry's ass.
They basically just said that the speed and performance of the safety car has nothing to do with the safety car itself. It's all at the discretion of us. We tell it how fast to go, this and that. All this stuff that, first of all, the statement they put out was so long, all over a couple drivers bad-mouthing the safety car.
If that's the case, why wouldn't Mercedes just trot out the A-Class, like the little smart car equivalent, right?
So, I mean, people need perspective. F1 drivers have been shitting on how fast the F1 safety car goes for like the last 30 years. I mean,
they're always
like,
going to complain because the tires are too cold or everyone's bunching up. Right.
It's a tradition.
It is a tradition unlike any other. We just had the Masters and drivers complaining about the safety car in the last race.
So why now all of a sudden, when some drivers are saying it after the Australian Grand Prix, is the FIA putting a statement out? And I'll tell you why. Because Larry fucking Stroll bitched to them about it and probably even made them put a statement out, but definitely put them under pressure to clear it up.
And you have the F1 TV broadcast shitting on Aston Martin, the race cars, but it plays.
It's a bad car, the Aston Martin.
It plays all the way. You could talk about, we don't know if they're talking about the safety car or either of the two cars on track.
Yeah, so I mean, this whole Larry Stroll like atmosphere in F1 just continues to get funnier and uglier for him. Now he's basically obviously we're making a leap here, but I guarantee you, there's 110% chance that he put the FIA under pressure to make a statement.
I mean, it's bad pub for Aston Martin. The team is horrific this year now. We always had joked all last season about how until the last couple of races, we never saw the Aston Martin safety car.
Now you're seeing it.
And now we're seeing it, and it's getting roundly attacked by drivers on the broadcast, in the pressers,
and you know
in the media.
You know what's hilarious? It's a rainbow podium of drivers shitting on the Aston Martin safety car. It's a Red Bull driver, a Mercedes driver, and a Ferrari driver.
Right. The three power units that are spanking Aston Martin, and one of them that supplies Aston Martin.
Exactly.
In Formula One, at least, not in the road cars that are the safety car and the medical car.
Yeah. So despite that lame-ass statement from the FIA to sort of heal Larry's wounds, there's actual data here that confirms that the Mercedes safety car is better than the Aston Martin safety car. You ready?
Faster.
You ready for this?
Faster, I would say, which obviously is going
better.
To most likely be better
it's
as well.
It's better. All right, so the Mercedes safety car has 730 horsepower versus the Aston Martin's 528.
It's over 200 horses.
202 horsepower is more. 202 more horses. That's absurd. The Mercedes safety car goes 0 to 60 in 3.2 seconds. Aston Martin's 3.5. The Mercedes safety car's top speed is 202 miles an hour. The Aston Martin's is 195. It can't even break 200.
Right.
Also, the Mercedes safety car is lighter by 50 kilograms. So I'm just all on board with continuing to watch Larry take L's. Here's another L.
L Stroll.
L Stroll.
And there's two L's in Stroll also.
Yes.
He's taking a lot of L's.
Just a lot of L's. The Mercedes safety car is better. And I love that George Russell was like, it's 5 seconds lap faster.
Right.
This whole saga is hilarious to me, dude. I love it.
It's a bad car, the Aston Martin.
Yes, it really is unbelievable how much shit is raining down on Aston Martin. You know, Larry was talking a big game. They were looking good. Then we had the whole brake duct controversy a couple years ago, highlighted in depth on Drive to Survive in season 3, right?
Yeah. What year are we in Larry's 5-year plan for a championship? Are we in year 2 or 3?
This is year 1.
No, they were Aston Martin last year.
Yeah, but he basically threw out the 5-year plan when he hired Martin Whitmarsh, I believe.
That was last season.
Right. But Martin Whitmarsh was hired in the second half, I think, of last season, right?
All right, so year 1.
It started in the new regs, the 5-year plan. Come on. It started in the new regs. So they decided to go backwards to make it actually take 5 years.
I just want to be clear.
That's why the car is regressing each year.
True, but I want to be clear, though. It's year 1 of his 5-year plan on winning a title with his team, and he's spending it defending his safety car.
Right. And he's getting it with every barrel, not just both barrels, every single car.
Yeah.
Either the safety car, both his cars.
All right.
Mercedes power. A lot of bad pub for Aston Martin.
Absolutely. I'm loving every second of it. Hey, you take this one.
Yeah, we're going to get into some NASCAR news here, more on the American front. So you're basically headline rag guy. NASCAR stars are concerned about the impact that Formula One growth will have on young American racers. Obviously, it's stealing a lot of market share from NASCAR, from IndyCar, a lot of viewership. Formula One is, given Drive to Survive and the excitement of recent seasons.
It's also stealing NASCAR drivers' kids.
Yeah, so Kevin Harvick is concerned that his son Keelan and other young drivers who've taken up karting will potentially skip over. He's saying, quote, "I live at the go-kart track, and none of those kids want to race IndyCar. They all want to race Formula One cars. They all want to drive the Ferrari or the Red Bull. This is something that I've talked about with NASCAR chairman and CEO Jim France and with people in our garage. How do we make sure that all those kids whose dreams don't come true, how do we create them to become gentleman racers and put them in sports car racing and attract those great ones over to NASCAR?" So this is going to be the question. Obviously, Formula One has... It is the most exciting. It is the pinnacle of racing, yeah, in my opinion. It markets itself that way. It creates all the glitz and glamour and the speed and the awesome looks of the cars and, you know, the fame, global fame that the drivers can achieve. So anyone who starts karting or racing at any point, whether they're young, middle-aged, old, whatever, Formula One is the ultimate goal. So obviously, anyone's going to worry, and Kevin Harvick's going to want to make sure that, you know, his son maybe, I guess, ends up or falls into NASCAR, right?
Read the next quote, though.
Well, I think this is what he's getting at, too. He doesn't want people's dreams to be smashed. He's more realistic about what are the real chances of his son, Keelan, and other American carters making Formula One. He says, quote, Kevin Harvick about his son says, quote, "He's got no chance of going F1 racing. We try to make him think he's got a chance to go Formula One racing, so he'll try to overachieve in kart racing, but it's reverse psychology until the point he realizes this."
Yeah, so my takeaway is that, first of all, Kevin Harvick does not have a bleeding heart for all the racers that don't make it into whatever series they're going after.
He just doesn't want his son to be heartbroken.
There's all these people that don't make it. What about the tens of thousands of Americans or North Americans that don't make it into NASCAR?
Right, he makes it sound like everyone who wants to race can end up in NASCAR.
I think he's just butthurt that his kid wants to become an F1 driver instead of a NASCAR driver right now.
Right.
I mean, these quotes are like very petty, and it's hysterical that he basically comes out and says, "My kid's not going to make it to F1.
Is the Harvick household, like, you know, somewhere parents will say to their kids, right, this is a Dallas Cowboys house. If you root for any other team... If you were for the Washington Redskins /football team/Commanders, you're not welcome to watch football on Sundays in my house, right?
Yeah.
Is Harvick the guy who goes, if you're out there driving go-karts, you better end up racing in NASCAR, because if you think you're going to Formula One, you're going to be out on the street.
Yeah, I mean, if you really read between the lines, he's basically saying we're going to have a growth problem with stock car racing.
Yeah, I mean, I think more so what you mentioned, right, that I wouldn't worry that much, because Formula One, yes, will be insanely difficult. It's not like all of a sudden anyone who wants to get into Formula One is going to be in it.
Right.
For sure, the best of the best might get stolen away, which could, if Harvick is right, it'll only be a good thing for his son Keelan, because the best of the best won't be competing against his son in NASCAR if he makes it there.
Right, but a lot of it doesn't make sense. Like, a lot of Formula One guys have gone to NASCAR. At points, right? Kimi Raikkonen's done it.
Guys will moonlight over in NASCAR.
Juan Pablo Montoya did a shitload of NASCAR. Like, what is he so fucking worried about?
I don't know. I think, I think he just doesn't want his son's heart to be broken if he doesn't make it to Formula One.
Maybe he's already trying to break his son's heart.
He's already trying to baby his son about it.
He's got no chance of going F1 racing.
Yeah.
Amazing quotes. Very interesting take. I don't think he knows what he's saying. He's just saying stuff.
Well, I mean, this is going to be the fun thing to watch in the future.
He's definitely
worried.
If we
talk about what to watch for in the future, right? Because you see this in a bunch of countries, right? When you have a star pop up, this is a little different. It's only that Formula One popularity is surging when we don't have American drivers and the American team Haas is, you know, barely an American team, right? The interest and the excitement about Formula One is the fact that Drive to Survive has surged in popularity, that we're about to have three races in the States, Austin, Texas, Miami, and Las Vegas. And down the line, I guarantee you're going to see more Formula One caliber American talent potentially breaking through. The way that you have German talent were rising up when Michael Schumacher had his reign. You saw Spanish talent starting to rise up when Fernando Alonso was getting his titles, right?
Right.
So I think with the popularity, you'll start seeing American talent knocking on Formula One's door in the future.
I couldn't disagree with Kevin more because I don't, like, he's, how else are we supposed to get it started in the States?
Let's get it started.
Like, before it's even getting started in the States, as far as growing an actual homegrown Formula One talent from the States, he's worried about the guys that aren't going to make it.
Yeah.
What kind of mentality is that? Second of all, at this point in time, I don't fucking care how we get an American driver in F1. We have two Canadian billionaire sons racing in F1 right now.
Right.
Why can't we have an American
one?
And
we just had a Russian oligarch in the American team.
Yeah. Why isn't there one of those from the United States? I guarantee you there's some billionaire son in the United States who wants to become an F1 driver. Let's make it happen. I don't care if he sucks and if he's a laughing stock. I'll probably buy some of the merch during the Black Friday sale.
Right. I think Kevin Harvick is just trying to throw his hat in the ring for Father of the Year.
I think
he doesn't want his son Keelan's heart to be broken.
He's worried about the threat of Formula One's growth in the States is what he's really worried about.
Yeah. Ryan, why don't you get into this watch news, breaking watch news.
Yeah. Watch your back. F1 championship leader Charles Leclerc robbed of $320,000 Richard Mille watch.
Yeah, the Richard Mille's, I mean, you might as well wear a t-shirt that says, Rob Me, because everyone will remember we got into the Lando Norris. This was when he went to like a Champions League semifinal or final match or something, right?
Yeah.
And his Richard Mille watch was also stolen.
It might have even been the final.
I think it was, because remember there were all sorts of luminaries at it in different suites and things like that, and Lando was up in the nosebleeds and then was promptly robbed of his hundreds of thousands of dollar value watch, Richard Mille watch, when he was trying to leave the event.
Yeah, here's the difference, though. I think Lando, if I remember correctly, Lando actually got roughed up at Wembley for his watch. Charles, not so much. So I actually think the way that Charles got robbed was really dumb. Like, in hindsight, he probably would have done things differently. So Charles was cruising with some friends and his trainer around 10 p.m. in a dimly lit area of Via Reggio.
When you say cruising, like on bikes?
No, in a Ferrari.
Because cruising is, oh, okay, driving in a Ferrari.
Yes, cruising in a
Ferrari. Cruising is also, I think, code for like male prostitutes or searching for male prostitutes, like, you know.
Well, let's not make the story any
more
interesting.
There was a movie, right? Wasn't there a movie with Al Pacino, I think, called Cruising or something?
I don't know, but let me get through this. So he was cruising with friends and his trainer around 10 p.m. in a dimly lit area of Via Reggio, which is in the Tuscany area. He was recognized by fans and stopped the car for photos and autographs when a scrum broke out and someone stole his watch.
So this was like an elaborate old school pickpocket move. Set up a scrum, slide the Richard Mille $320,000 watch off the guy's wrist.
Essentially, from everything I've read, everyone in the group of the fans was involved in the theft, essentially. So it was like a group of people pretending to be big Charles Leclerc fans. They got him to stop and get out. Like, in hindsight, it was 10 p.m., dimly lit area in the mean streets of Via Reggio. Probably not a good idea, right?
Yeah, I mean, they need to start putting some tracking stuff or
serial
numbers on these watches.
Can't you just wave from the car?
Well, I appreciate that. He's a man of the people. You know, he's getting
not
out.
Not anymore.
Hanging out. But yeah, if you want to start alienating all of our stars, then start keep stealing their watches.
Also, quick question. Let me know your opinion on this. But is that one of the dumbest things you can do in Italy is steal the watch from the championship leading Ferrari driver? I feel like the mafia or the local townspeople are going to like murder those kids or whoever stole it.
Oh yeah. There's definitely their headshots are posted somewhere on wanted posters, and they're going to get roughed up.
They're going to get got.
Better return it now before worse things happen to you. I hope guys insure their watches.
Yeah.
If you're going to be casually wearing a, you know, $320,000 watch, you have to be insuring it entirely, because maybe this is Charles working in elaborate schemes, insurance fraud. Maybe he wants to collect a little coin, and he was the one who set up this fake scrum.
Right. Well, another thing that we talked about when Lando had his watch stolen was, how do you move this watch if you're the guy who stole it? How do you sell it?
Yeah, your black market, trying to sling it on the black market for pennies on the dollar.
No, every single one of these Richard Mille watches are like bespoke, and it's one of one, essentially.
Right.
So how do you know, if the instant you try and sell it, someone's going to track it back to you.
Either way, stop stealing watches. I think that's the big takeaway from this story, everybody. Stop. Yeah. If any of the people who stole Formula One drivers' watches are listening to this show, give it back to them and or the authorities. And
also,
let's stop stealing their watches.
True. But also, if you're Charles Leclerc and his mates and his trainer, don't be stopping the Ferrari at 10 p.m. for a handful of goons who want your autograph. Just wave.
Right. Send a letter to the Scuderia Ferrari headquarters, and I'll send you a nice autographed headshot.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get out of my, you know, my car wearing my watch and probably his tailored, you know, Italian designer outfit. Everything altogether is worth over $1 million, the car, the outfit, the watch.
Yep.
Let's not stop and, walk down an alley to get some autographs.
Also, how quickly before he gets tired of questions about this from the media this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they won't keep beating this horse and comes up with an answer
press,
to get past it.
The English press loves this shit. Plus, he's the championship leader. It's like a perfect opportunity for them to continue rattling.
Oh, it'll come up. I mean, we all remember that the Lando Norris story was beaten to death.
And
after
he got
that
pissed.
Happened too.
He got pissed and was like, I'm not answering any more questions about my fucking watch.
Oh, for sure you're going to get pissed when, you know, $320,000 exits your wrist.
Yep.
A lot of news around the Scuderia Ferrari Rye Guy recently. So multiple teams now, three teams to be exact, have apparently asked the FIA to investigate the similarities between the Haas and the Ferrari car this season, given Haas's obvious impressive start to the 2022 Formula One season. So this is kind of going back to what we just mentioned earlier on this episode, when Aston Martin's brake ducts were thought to be ripoffs of the Mercedes brake duct design.
Amongst other parts.
Right, because they were the customer. And this Ferrari-Haas relationship, it was, you know, announced out there. It's an interesting thing where Ferrari was basically sending Ferrari employees over to a section of the Ferrari factory, creating like a Haas factory, right?
Yeah, but
within Haas, Ferrari's whole operation.
Haas basically had a sleepover at the Ferrari factory.
Right.
Over
and they
the
were doing
the
arts
off-season.
And crafts together.
Yeah.
And they came up with this Haas car in the new regs here this season that has made a tremendous jump from the back of the grid from dead fucking last year. And obviously everyone's starting to get jealous. Gunther Steiner had some quotes. What else is new, right? This is the least shocking news in our news.
I love this quote from him.
That Gunther Steiner is talking. Gunther Steiner, who we love, he says, quote, well, I love. Ryan has questions. Gunther Steiner says, quote, you have to work hard for envy. You get pity for free. This guy is a walking fortune cookie. I love my Gunther Steiner.
I fucking love that quote. Yeah. I love it. Whether or not it's right in this context or if it's true, who knows? But I love that quote.
It's true, though. Again, his quote. Yeah. We might need to get Gunther Steiner t-shirts printed up with this fortune cookie quote, Ryan. Yeah, he says, quote, you have to work hard for envy. You can get pity for free. You get pity for free.
Right. So, first of all, which three teams do you think it was that snitched?
Mercedes, for sure.
Oh, I disagree.
You don't think Mercedes did? You
Mercedes.
Think Toto doesn't want to play those games?
Maybe Mercedes only because they are worried about the shared information between Ferrari and Haas, and it might empower Ferrari if they can trial stuff via the Haas car.
What if Ferrari snitched and They're just, you know, it's an inside job. Do you?
I think it's Aston Martin, Alpine, and Williams.
Okay. You're already going to say it. I was going to say, though, do you think would any other Ferrari-powered teams that maybe aren't performing as well be jelly? Like, would Alfa Romeo potentially lob?
No, it's the two butthurt.
Yeah.
It's likely
the back markers that they've jumped.
It's the two butthurt Mercedes-powered teams, which is Aston Martin and Williams.
Right.
And then Alpine, because fucking
you don't
Otmar,
think it could be McLaren as well?
Otmar Szafnauer has been incredibly outspoken about this, which is ironic considering
he was at Aston Martin during that copycat.
He was defending
during the
Aston Martin's actions doing the same thing.
Well, it was the pink Mercedes. It was the Racing Point Mercedes, yeah.
But, yeah, so this is what I think. Is what's going on between Haas and Ferrari shady? Most likely. Do I give a fuck? No. Not after what happened with Racing Point and Mercedes, where we literally had a copy and pasted car.
And
their punishment was strictly monetary, essentially.
Yeah, and it's the same engine. Obviously, they're a Ferrari customer, Haas is, but a lot of those cars seem to have a similar design concept. I don't look at the Haas and think that's a baby Ferrari, right?
No, I don't either. They're just butthurt. They just don't like that. How are they ever going to prove that they're actually stealing stuff off of Ferrari? It's like going to be impossible to prove.
And as we mentioned, Ferrari was transparent in saying, here's the people that and what their positions were at Ferrari. We're basically sending them over to work for Haas now in the development of the new car, right? Remember that? That was announced.
Yes.
It wasn't.
No one gave a shit about it then.
Right, exactly.
But now Haas is good or better, and they're taking points off of these other teams that are spending way more money than Haas, and they're bitter. I mean, yes. I get it. I would be bitter, too, if I was Mike Crack or if I was fucking Jos Capito Capito. I always say Capito. Or if I was Otmar. But nothing's going to happen. It's Ferrari. They're the Teflon Don of fucking F1. They're the only team with veto power, dude.
The Godfathers. Right.
Ferrari has a pocket veto. They're the only team that has that.
Yeah. They ever cheat, it never really gets announced what happened. They just get some slap on the wrist.
Exactly.
And then we go about our business. They're the Godfather.
Good luck. If you're one of the three teams trying to run down Ferrari and Haas right here, good luck. You're going up against La Familia.
Yeah. La Cosa Nostra, the Formula One Godfathers, Ferrari. But again,
it is a fascinating story, though.
Yeah. And we love the quote from Gunther. Quote, you have to work hard for envy. You get pity for free. That's talk about again. He must be the consigliere for the Ferrari mafia now.
Yeah.
You know, that's Gunther Steiner. Love that.
Gunther Steiner is so popular at this point. He's more popular than some of the drivers on the grid, I think.
Yeah, he's a superstar.
He is.
Yeah. Let's head over to Imola for the Emilia Romagna Grand Prix. I guess technically, Ryan, when I started the episode off saying it was our Imola Grand Preview, it's technically the Emilia Romagna Grand Preview,
well,
right?
Read the whole name.
Okay, so again, yeah, this has always been a long one. We've always joked about this.
Here's the actual official name. Every year, it's the longest, most ridiculous official Grand Prix name on the calendar.
Yes. So the official name is the Formula One Rolex Gran Premio del Made in Italy e del Emilia Romagna 2022 Grand Prix, right?
No, Grand Prix is already.
Oh, yeah, the Gran Premio. I like how it's the Gran Premio del Made in Italy e del Emilia Romagna 2020.
When Twitter first started, you wouldn't be able to fit that name into a tweet.
Yeah.
It's too many characters.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, so is the hashtag has to be hashtag Imola GP though, right? They're not going
to
make us work for Emilia Romagna Grand Prix.
It's Emilia Romagna Grand Prix GP. Yeah.
Yeah, this is always a fun one. They cram in multiple languages, multiple sponsors, and a million characters. This is like the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog, where it has every letter in the alphabet.
Yep.
The title of the race at Imola every season will have every letter of the alphabet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's your weather forecast, Moot, and heads up to Sean and Dara, who are at the race this weekend. Friday, cold and rainy. It's like almost 100% chance of rain Friday.
And Friday, as we mentioned, this is a sprint weekend, so that will have qualifying.
Yes, that will have implications for qualifying. You might be getting an absolutely bonkers grid for the sprint race on Saturday as a result, which I fucking hope so. Saturday, warmer, rain unlikely. Sunday, cooler again, threat of rain. So, as is always the case so far with the sprint race weekends, it's going to be fucking nuts.
Yeah. Yeah, now we have the weather mixing it up as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, everyone knows that Ferrari has the best chassis in F1, like, hands down right now. But do they in the wet? We're going to find out in quali on Friday. We could have some interesting results.
Yeah, this will be our first opportunity to see how the cars and the drivers, the new cars and the drivers in the new cars, handle the wet, right?
Yeah, and I also think that this really empowers certain teams. If it's going to be like an absolutely soaked quali, I feel like Haas is going to be empowered with their chassis. You could see Mercedes do very well in the wet in quali because their chassis is actually not that bad. It's just hard to tell because their porpoising issues are horrific.
Oh, I mean, the porpoising, you should want some water, right? Porpoise love the water. Maybe it'll be helpful. They'll be able to dive through the puddles, and it'll actually be increased performance for the Mercedes.
Yeah, that's possible. By the way, if you're a team that is struggling with porpoising right now, wait until you're doing it in the wet. Can you imagine how terrifying that's going to be?
Yeah, I'm very excited to potentially see the new cars in the wet because I think the claim was also that the spray would be reduced, I think. Maybe.
We'll see. I don't think so.
I mean, we have bigger tires now, so I'm very intrigued to see how the rooster tails look, how the spray looks.
It's still going
to
be
how they
bad.
Work in the wet, how the drivers handle these new cars in the wet. It will be fun.
Yeah. As you mentioned,
rain's always fun. This will make it even super fun.
Yeah, exactly. As you mentioned, Moot, sprint race weekend. New rules this time around.
Our first sprint race weekend of the season.
Yep. New rules this time around. They tweaked some things for this year. I still don't think a lot of them make sense. They're still figuring it out. But more points. There's more points now.
Top eight. Last year it was only the top three. I think you got 3 points, 2 points, 1 point for first, second, and third, respectively.
Yes, 3-2-1.
And now they're paying the top eight, starting 8 points for first, 7 for second, 3rd for sixth, bop, 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 all the way down, 1 point for eighth in the sprint race.
So it goes 8-1 from first to eighth.
Which is big, and we've talked about...
That should mean more aggressive racing for the top eight, top 10.
And if it's a crazy sprint race, or people are out of position from a crazy qualifying, we were talking in our whole season preview for this Formula One season, would every team score a point? Aston Martin, the only ones not to score a point, with three sprint races on the calendar, now eight spots getting points.
Yeah,
that could be a spot where they could grab a point and get out of the 0 point basement.
Do you think we will? There's only one team left without points, right? And it's Aston Martin.
Yeah, okay, because Albon got his point.
Do you think
tremendous drive in the last race?
Do you think we leave Imola with all 10 teams having points?
No, I think Aston Martin still doesn't score.
Have you no faith
this weekend?
It's a bad car, the Aston Martin.
Have you no faith in four-time world champion Sebastian Vettel? He's back.
I do have faith in him, but he has verbally also been critical of the car. Remember how much he was getting on the radio?
He's been critical of the car and the Aston Martin safety car.
Yeah, critical of everything. So, Ryguy, the other change that's happening in the sprint weekend, the sprint format for this season. Remember last year it was so confusing because qualifying was on a Friday. But if you were the fastest in qualifying in the third session, what would have been normal pole position, they weren't calling that pole position. They were calling the winner of the sprint race pole position.
Right.
So it created that whole weird, we qualify on Friday, then we have a sprint on Saturday. You can't call it a sprint race because it's not the race.
Right.
But that also then is pole position, not qualifying. There's no pole position. You're just starting.
You're in too deep.
Exactly. That's how confusing it was. So now we're going back to what we said, and I think everyone was always saying, the official pole position in the history books and the miniature tire goes to the actual Friday qualifying, best, fastest qualifier.
But not necessarily. Because they're going to give the pole position for the record books to whoever gets pole in the actual qualies. But... sprint race, now called just the sprint, determines the actual grid. So,
you can get pole, have pole position, but not start.
You could literally have pole position in the record books this weekend and start from the back of the grid if you wreck out in the sprint.
Oh yes.
So I still think
I'm excited. I like sprint. It's insanity.
I still think they're fleshing this shit out. They're absolutely still fleshing this out. That makes no sense to me.
Don't worry about it making sense. Just know that your head's going to be spinning and your eyes will be darting left and right, watching action on track Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well,
right. Let's move on from the format stuff because it gets kind of wonky. Well, just know that we're going to take it all in and be excited.
Last note, though, is that it's no longer called the sprint race. It's called just the sprint.
Yeah, and that's what we were saying, I think, also last year. A lot of people were saying that as well. Yeah. All right, guy, upgrade alert. Why don't you give us the upgrade alert?
Yes, so sting me.
Sting!
So, heading into this race weekend, there was a lot of posturing in the media from a bunch of teams. Mercedes was kind of going in and out of saying, yeah, we should have some upgrades ready for Imola. Same with Ferrari. Both of them have backed out of it, verbally at least. They've both said, hey, we're not bringing shit to Imola. At least no big upgrades, because why do it that weekend? It's limited practice. It's a sprint race weekend, etc. So they could be bluffing, of course, but right now, to the media, Ferrari and Mercedes have said, fuck that. On the other hand, Red Bull, AlphaTauri, and Alpine are coming in guns blazing. All three of them have said, we're bringing significant upgrades to Imola. YOLO, we're here for points. We're here to make the car faster. So I'm excited to see what they bring. They could also be bluffing.
Yeah.
But I don't think Red Bull is, because they're fucking desperate at this point.
Oh, definitely. They need to figure out the reliability, as we've said. And I'm just intrigued to see, in this cost cap era, is the cost cap kind of a paper tiger where everyone's still going to be developing all season long? Or do you kind of really have to actually pick and choose and not develop as much as you might want to? That's what I'm eager to see.
It will be interesting to see. It's a little convoluted. Not everything goes against your cost cap. If you look at the way it's broken down. So there is some flexibility in there.
Yes.
But I hope all three of those teams that said they're bringing big upgrades actually do. Red Bull and Alpine especially. I want to see Alpine get further up the grid. And
they've been quick in the speed traps. They just haven't been able to put together that last oomph to get higher up in the points.
Yes. And I want to see Red Bull sort out some of their reliability issues. I want just a slugfest boxing match at the front of the grid. I want every week it'll be different. I want Ferrari to take the top step. I want Red Bull to take the top step. I want Mercedes to insert themselves into the top of the podium.
Yeah, we need some new race winners. I know this is only the fourth race of the season, but thus far it's been Leclerc twice, Max once. Let's get some new race winners. We want to see a lot of guys up and down the grid win a race this year.
Friendly reminder that George Russell is second in the championship, despite everything that's happened.
Yeah. Yep. Mr. Consistent. Mr. Saturday has been Mr. Consistent this season.
Onwards, Moot. This track, as we already mentioned, is in Ferrari land. It's basically an hour's drive from Ferrari's factory in Maranello.
Yeah. So it'll be a fun, you know, rain on the Ferrari and Tifosi parade moment for Mercedes or Red Bull or any other team that can best the Ferraris this weekend.
Or it's just going to be a blood red orgy if Ferrari just cakewalks it all weekend.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and
it's going to be pizza and Peronis.
Huge, a lot more fans than the last couple of races at Imola. I imagine
it'll be back.
A full crowd. So the Tifosi are going to show out when it's an hour from Maranello. Are you kidding me?
This is going to be one of those crazy races where the drivers say they can hear the crowd in the car.
Oh, yeah. And you'll be able to hear it. I mean, sometimes too on those broadcasts, right? You can almost hear the crowd more than the cars.
Right.
You can definitely tell when you're watching the races where that's the case, where the drivers for sure can hear the fans. You'll know when you're on your couch as well.
If Max Verstappen is leading the Grand Prix in the first 10 laps and his engine explodes and then Charles passes him, you are absolutely going to hear it on the broadcast.
Yeah, it'll measure on the Richter scale.
The fans will be going nuts. Our listeners who are there on their honeymoons and they're on their vacation are going to be burning red flares.
Oh, yes. So, Raga, you're about to light a flare here with some bold predictions. Lay them on us.
All right. So, I'm going to make things interesting here. I'm going to preface this, though, by saying it's a sprint race weekend with new rules and there's rain in the forecast. It's highly unlikely any of these predictions will be right because it's just going to be a zany weekend. So let's start here, Moon. Number one, you should actually just sting me for all these. So first one. Lando Norris will podium on Sunday.
You want a sting or a knee him?
Sting. Sting me again. Carlos Sainz will have a better finish in the race on Sunday than Charles Leclerc.
The race, not the sprint.
Both Haas cars will finish in the points on Sunday.
That is bold, baby.
Nicholas Latifi will wreck his car at some point this weekend. Traditions.
Oh, yes. That one, I mean, you're going to beat that drum all season in the bold predict. But eventually it will not be bold anymore, you know?
I'm just sticking with the trend.
I know. It's your good luck charm that you attach that bead to the rest of your bold predictions.
Yes. He's my lucky rabbit's foot. And also, even last race, it wasn't his fault, and it still happened.
Yeah. I'll knee him my bold prediction here, Rye Guy. Charles Leclerc will not be driver of the day. He's had the clean sweep.
I like that.
How about that? No Charles Leclerc driver of the day, so that means some Tifosi will probably be unhappy because that will most likely mean that he did not win and potentially a Ferrari did not win. How about them ankles?
Is that your only prediction?
That's going to be my only bold prediction. I could just keep banging That's all you've my got? Rainbow podium drum, but I'm not going to.
You don't have any other predictions.
How about this one? The fan-sourced Purple Sector Fantasy lineup this weekend will actually have all the drivers finish the race because it's been snake-bitten.
Oh, really?
Oh, a lot of retirements and DNFs from, you know, the lineups that the fan-sourced setup has yielded this season, which, yeah, that's your quick reminder at Purple Sector Pod on Instagram. It's going to be earlier this week for anyone doing the Formula One Fantasy. The lineups will lock Friday. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, East Coast time, Eastern Standard Time this Friday. The fantasy lineups will lock once qualifying starts on Friday for this race. So we're going to...
You got to set your lineups early this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to be putting out the request for you guys to vote on how we should tweak that fan-sourced at Purple Sector Pod F1 fantasy lineup coming up right now after this episode is posted. So you're going to hopefully already be looking at the social media and chime in on that, and we'll get that lineup. Hopefully, as I mentioned, bold prediction to have all the drivers actually finish the race.
Moot, I've got one more bold prediction. Sting me.
You're the sting. I use the neem.
Kevin Harvick's son, Keelan, will not make it to Formula One.
I love it. Yeah.
So we have to check back in 20 years to see if he...
Yeah. Exciting stuff. But either way, Rye Guy, I mean, Keelan will be watching.
Sting me again. Sting me one more time. Kevin Harvick will sabotage his son Keelan's attempt to get into Formula One.
Yeah, Kevin Harvick just popped Keelan's kart tires and is making him drive the truck.
A knife with Kevin Harvick's fingerprints was found stabbed into the tire of Keelan Harvick's
slashed
cart.
Slashed tires.
Slashed.
I'm excited, Rye Guy, for... Again, I'm excited for the Formula One Rolex Gran Premio del Made in Italy e del Emilia Romagna.
2022.
Yes. Super stoked.
Amazing.
Yes.
It's going to be this recap of this race weekend. It's going to be insane. Like, buckle up. Sharpen your pencil.
Yes.
A lot of notes.
I'm stoked for it. Thanks for tuning in to Purple Sector's Imola Grand Preview. We'll call it that because we're not going to mention again that entire full name. Remember, hit us up 904-8-PURPLE is the phone number. That's 904-878-7753 to leave a voicemail or shoot us a text. Thanks again to Warren and Emilio for sending voicemails for this episode's Mailbox Box Box. Remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Search Purple Sector F1 Podcast. Go smash the like button. Tell other people to watch. We're going to put fun content up there all the time. Also follow at Purple Sector Pod on social media, as we mentioned. Go to our Instagram stories there to vote on the fan source lineup.
Race posters and, every race.
Right. The Wednesday wallpaper, a.k.a. race poster, is also on our Instagram at Purple Sector Pod. So go screen cap that, make it your background, or do whatever you'd like with it. Print it out on a miniature piece of paper and hang it on your wall, whatever you guys like to do. And subscribe to the podcast, spread the word about the podcast, rate and review the podcast. We appreciate all that from you guys, and thanks again for listening, hitting us up with the mailbox, box, box. Rye Guy, it's time to sprint over to Imola for the longest named Grand Prix of all time. Are you ready?
So ready.
Let's do it. See y'all on the track.